Blog Talk Radio.
From the Blog Talk Radio studios in Union City, New Jersey, this is Talking the Hudson, and I am Fernando Uribe. I want to welcome you all here tonight, the 19th of April, the year 2017. I want to thank you for listening from wherever you are here in the good old U.S. of A. You can always write to the show's inbox, ladies and gentlemen. Write to me, talkonthehudson@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram, @your_favorite_Fernando, and on Twitter, @theGloriousFUJ. Of course, for all you Facebook subscribers, please go to the official page for Talking the Hudson and like it, of course. And I ask you to tell your friends to do the same. Now, Talking the Hudson, ladies and gentlemen, is brought to you by Olivella Restaurant. Now, it's a brand new gem in Hudson County, and it's the best Italian food you'll taste anywhere in the tri-state area. Now, Olivella Restaurant is located at 7709 Bergen Lane Avenue in North Bergen. They're open for dinner 7 days a week. And trust me, you'll definitely want to go there. Call them to make a reservation in advance, folks. Don't show up there without a reservation. It may not work out for you. But call them directly, 201-662-6110. Again, their reservation hotline at Olivella is 201-662-6110. Check out their website for their full menu and all their delicious entrees there. You can view right on their website, www.olivellanj.com. Don't forget to like Olivella Restaurant on Facebook and, of course, follow them on Instagram and Twitter. Now, folks, I want to hear from you tonight, so don't be shy and call me toll-free tonight, 657-383-0296. Call in tonight toll-free, 657-383-0296. Our toll-free number tonight is brought to you by Olivella Restaurant. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad to have you join me tonight here on Blog Talk Radio. And thank the Lord for this beautiful weather, because even though we're in mid-April, Old Man Winter seems to be hanging around, but hopefully he'll be gone a lot sooner rather than later. And tonight we start with the real truth. Now, folks, I'm a lifelong Hudson County resident, and certainly I've seen the way that the political landscape, but also the media landscape, has changed ever since growing up here. And I know that more than ever now, social media has occupied a permanent landscape within our society. And certainly, you know, when we think about the great benefits of social media, certainly you can get your message out. Certainly if you're campaigning during an election, if you're into philanthropy and you want to promote your charity events like yours truly, certainly it's a very advantageous tool. If you're looking to raise awareness about a cause, whether it's a disease or even now, listen, in the month of April, it's Autism Awareness Month. You want to raise awareness about autism and what you can do to help combat it and help promote understanding, you know, patience, love, and acceptance. Hey, social media is a wonderful tool for this. But I'll tell you one thing also, where I tend to have a problem with social media is sort of its abuses. We saw it this past weekend with that infamous killer just committing a deplorable act on Facebook Live, just using social media. And we know that hateful rhetoric can consume our news feeds, whether it's on Facebook, whether it's on Instagram, whether it's on Twitter, even on Snapchat. I think it's important for us folks to be responsible with our social media usage. Certainly, it has its advantages. It has its benefits to help us, as I said before, raise awareness about a plethora of different things, people, and ideas. But at the same time, let's be responsible. Let's not be reckless. Let's not be belligerent towards others. Let's not use it irresponsibly. It can cause a lot more harm than good. Trust me, we see it each and every day. And like I said, it's all fun and games. Like I said, when we're using social media in a very entertaining way, it could also be very harmful in terms of who you're affecting when it comes to a message, when it comes to any videos you upload. Folks, it's the internet. Once you upload it, it's there forever. You may not believe it. Trust me, it's true. And the more responsible we are with social media, the better I think we'll all become, especially as users. And that, my friends, is indeed real truth. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, feel free to join me tonight here on the program. Call in toll-free, 657-383-0296. I want to hear from you folks and what's on your mind about Hudson County. Again, our toll-free number is brought to you by Olivella Restaurant in North Bergen. And at this time right now, it gives me great pleasure to welcome in our distinguished freeholder here in Hudson County, representing the 8th District, the Honorable Anthony Veneri. Anthony, how are you, sir? Welcome to Talking to Hudson.
How you doing? Thank you very much, Fernando. How are you?
I'm glad you're on, Anthony. I hope you like the intro. I was trying to, you know, hype you up as much as possible, Anthony. You know, you and I
was great.
Friends,
thank you
know,
very
so
much. I love
to...
My favorite word, distinguished.
You're welcome. you're welcome. So, Anthony, listen, let's sort of just get right down to it for our listeners maybe who aren't aware exactly about what a freeholder does, what the job description is. You know, for your constituents listening in tonight, pretty much what got you interested in running for the freeholder position in the district? Pretty much what's your experience been since being elected?
Well, to start, what a freeholder is, it's like a legislative body on a county level. As I campaigned for freeholder, people would say, what's a freeholder? And I would say, do you know what a councilman is? Do you know what a mayor is? A councilman and mayor would be at township levels. Your freeholders and county executives would be at county level. And then your next level up is a state level, which is assembly people, senators, state senators, and you have your governor. So it's the county branch of government. You're a legislative body. You approve a lot that the county executive puts forward, and even the most important thing is the budget. And you approve a lot of the spending, the directives, the protocol of hiring and firing, and a lot of departments. You oversee the sheriff's office, the Department of Corrections, prosecutor's office. The county has a lot of agencies, a lot of different departments. People don't even know about it. How I got involved in the freeholdership, I've been working for Mayor Sacco for close to 30 years. And when he became the mayor, I was in his mayor's office, and I was almost like his I was his liaison to the county executive, which is Tom DeGise, even before that, the last two. But I was always on the county level, communicating from the township level to a county level, from the mayor's office to county executive's office. And when a former freeholder decided he wasn't running again, you know, the mayor said, you're perfect for the job. Why don't you take it? You're always interested in politics. It'd be perfect for you. And I said, however I got to, you know, help my community out, I do. And that's what happened. So I became a freeholder.
Well, you know, Anthony, when you mentioned the word politics, you know, that's a very polarizing word for our listeners and for anybody that really, you know, grows up. The word politics is very polarizing.
Right.
So whenever we hear it, you know, it's a trigger word. It just triggers a whole bunch of different emotions and feelings about what the institution of politics is. And, you know, listen, I know you personally away from the show. I've gotten to know you, outside of politics. You know, you've been very generous with me, with my philanthropy, and I'm deeply grateful to you for that. But I've gotten to know you as a person, and I know that, you know, more times than not, a lot of residents, and again, it sort of goes back to this premise that I started the show with about social media. You know, it's an arena where anybody and everybody can have an opinion, and you just sort of post something because you something's on your mind and you want to go on a rant and whatever. And, you know, listen, I've gotten to know you outside of the political world, and I know that, you know, some people might say, well, you know, Freeholder Veneri or the other freeholders or the other elected officials, we always just see them around fundraisers. We always see them around just sort of like social events. But, I mean, I know you work hard. I know that, you know, what's on your table, and especially since you're the chairman of the freeholders here in Hudson County, there's even more work. So to compound everything you just described, though, as chairman, what's sort of, you know, what's really involved with, you know, balancing, you know, that entire committee? Because let's be very honest, and I don't say this to be derogatory, but you have a lot of personalities. You have, you know, you have
thank you.
excuse me. You have Freeholder Romano and Hoboken, who's a great guy. You have Bill O'Day in Jersey City. I mean, you have a big, you know, conundrum of personalities, and let's be honest, even egos. How do you manage that as chairman of the freeholders, and what do you do to sort of make sure that everyone's working in sync?
Well, let me back up for a little while. Just two couple of sentences that you said that people sometimes they only see you on fundraisers. That's totally not true. If it was, I'd be out once a month. And believe me, I'm out like 7 days a week. Take, for instance, when we have the farmer's market in Braddock Park. All right? I initiated the first farmer's market ever to come to Braddock Park. I did 2 years in a row. I haven't missed one Sunday of the farmer's market since then. All right? I've been at every...
Oh, no, I've been there. I've seen you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, when we brought back the carnival in Braddock Park, it's a four-day ordeal, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I'm there an hour before it opens, and I'm there until an hour after it opens, all right? We have meetings down the county, which when I say down the county, enjoy your city.
Sure.
Say about two or four, five, about six times a month, maybe eight times a month. They could be from, I could start there 2 p.m. I could leave sometimes 8 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night. Sometimes I go down there for a 20-minute meeting. Sometimes I go down there to meet people. I have a town hall office. I'm always meeting constituents in town hall all the time. I'm taking phone calls. I manage my own Facebook. I answer every Facebook post on my Facebook. I get back to people. Just today, someone called the mayor's office and complained about something in Braddock Park. I called her back personally. She was shocked. She couldn't believe that I called her back personally, that I didn't have somebody else call her back. And I explained to her the problem, and she was happy. So, you know, these are things that we do. As far as going to political functions, you're showing your support for the individual that's running. Political functions are fundraisers. And to run for office, you need money. And, you know, unless you're a multi-billionaire, okay, like Trump. You know, he doesn't have to raise money, goes to his pocket.
I know,
okay?
That was coming. I knew that was coming, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
But I mean, you know, you could raise on average maybe $50,000. Hopefully, a good one is $100,000. Some of the big ones get more than that. But you don't understand what you spend on an election. My one election cost me over $60,000 to run an election, and that wasn't even like full blown out election. There was a few mailers, posters, signs. For little 5 o'clock cards, you name it, like advertisements in newspapers, and this is where the newspapers get you too. They hit you for like $1,000 for a page ad, all right? So I mean, you know, you have to fundraise, you have to manage your campaign, and there's other things I do with my campaign money. I donate to the farmers market, I donate to you, I donate to other charities, I sponsor the car show. I give money towards the carnival. I give out turkeys to poor people that can't afford to have turkey for Thanksgiving. So all these things come out of my campaign account. So like I said, when you go to fundraisers, you're there to support the person, you believe in the person, and you show your support, and you make a bond of a friendship. And that's what brings you to the Board of Freeholders. You have a bond of a friendship. Like, we're like a family up there. And we even said it like when we had Easter, like we said everybody happy Easter to a great group of friends. You know, you learn to work with people. You learn to like almost like enjoy the company and wanting to be with them all the time. And you take from a senior member like Freeholder Cefeli, Freeholder O'Day, who's been there for over 20 years, 25 years old. You learn from their experience. You learn, you watch them govern. And then, like, this last time around, four new Freeholders came on the board. You know, myself, Jerry Barmier, Carrie Rodriguez, and Kenny Kopasz. We're all new to the board. So you got to have a little sense of background of government in you before you get sit in that chair. You need to know a little something about government. I've been in the mayor's office for over 25 years. I served on our housing authority, North Bergen. I still serve as the chairman of the Zoning Board of Adjustment. I served on the Hudson County Schools of Technology. So I have that governmental experience. I even served on a state board. So I have that experience of a board, how it runs. And when you're chairman of the board, your duties are to run a meeting that, first of all, doesn't get out of hand. You kind of let everybody speak. You have to keep the tone of the meeting in place. Like I said, we all get along, which is great. I've seen freeholder boards from many moons ago in other towns, other counties, that fight amongst themselves. The chairman has to put people in their place. So, you know, we're very fortunate that Hucks County freeholders, you all get along. Especially, we have a great relationship with the county executive. Done without us, and we can't do things that we want in our districts without him. So we work together. And you have some counties in the state that don't see eye to eye with their county executive, and they're upside down. The services are horrible for the constituents. The roads are in disrepair. The parks don't get any money to it. And you just butt heads. And it means nothing. It's stupid. You know, you have to get along to make the government work. And you can see that from going for the top level now. You're going to see what's happening in Washington. I predict a Democratic majority in the midterm elections, without a doubt. I mean, you're just going to see a lot of these things happening in the country. So,
well, that's fair, Anthony. No, go on. I'm sorry. I was just going to ask you a question, but go on.
No, go ahead.
Finish your thought.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you because I know you were talking about, again, about working together with the freeholders. And I know something that I know you were very instrumental in. I know recently about having the speed limit, you know, monitored much more intensively on Kennedy Boulevard. You know, obviously we know JFK Boulevard stretches all the way from North Bergen into Bayonne. We know there have been some unfortunate incidents in recent years.
Yeah.
Kids being run over. As a matter of fact, a state Republican committeeman was run down by the coach house. Russ Maffei. I talked about that on the show last week. That was very tragic. And I know that you were one of those instrumental components at the county level to, you know, really start monitoring the speed.
To put
a lot of those barriers on the sidewalks to help pedestrians. Yeah. So, heard, though, in terms of the feedback from law enforcement? Has it been working? Has it been effective? What have you heard?
Well, I could see the traffic slowing down. What we did on the boulevard, you see, when you have a green light, say it lasts for like a minute. Let's say 45 seconds or a minute. All right? We lessen the amount of time it's green. So that makes you, like when I leave my work at 60th Street, to come home to 79th Street, I have to make it home stopping one light. After 10 o'clock at night until 6 o'clock in the morning, those lights turn red quicker. Like you can only go like maybe 3 blocks. And what happens there, it won't give you enough time to speed up in your car. Okay, so you can't pick up, you'll never get to 60 miles an hour, which people do. Unfortunately, they do. The speed limit is 25 miles an hour on a boulevard. Speeding, we lowered the amount of how long the green lights last on the boulevard. That helped a lot, a real lot. We installed ballots on corners where they needed them. We did crosswalks all over. We put new lights up. We put guardrails up. We could spend millions of dollars. That's what I said a couple weeks ago when those two people tragically got killed. I said we could spend millions of dollars on safety for our roads. But it's the idiot that thinks he could drink and drive. You know, that's not going to, you know, we're not going to be able to stop that. People are going to have to stop that on their own. You know, they're going to have to start taking Ubers and taxis. It's just, you can't do it. You just can't do it. Unfortunately, that's what happened.
Well, we see that also, Anthony, that, you know, speed limits obviously are an issue for residents, as we know that, you know, we're the most densely populated county, not just in New Jersey, but in the entire country. I think studies have shown that conclusively. And, you know, certainly, you know, I applaud you and the freeholders for taking those steps to, you know, try to moderate the speed limit.
If you notice, all the way down from Bayonne over to North Bergen, our municipality police departments picked up a lot. They've been going out a lot for the last couple of years. You'll see it all the time. You see North Bergen out full force every day, West New York's out, Union City's out. So all our municipalities are pitching in on the boulevard, and you know, they're really doing a good job out there. They really got to give them credit. They're stopping, they're slowing people down because people are hearing about it.
Well, absolutely. Listen, and you know, the less tragedies we have to deal with and read about in the news, the better. Sort of going back to a point, I just want to sort of rewind to a point you just made right now, which was really interesting about just politics in general. And you're right, though. I think that there are some misconceptions that I think constituents and residents have about our elected officials in terms of the workload that goes into, especially at the freeholder level, you know, the county level. Most people aren't aware about the abundant amount of agencies and services that, that we have at our disposal that most people don't know about. So it's you know, what I can say is that the freeholder board has done a good job in for many years now in really conveying that to residents, though. But, you know, again, as the chairman and then sort of working together with the rest of the freeholders, I have to sort of ask you, though, that, you know, again, it's politics. And again, while it's sort of a uniform political party in Hudson County, you know, Hudson County is very blue. It's been blue for many, many years. It's been blue before I was born. It's going to be blue long after I'm gone. And, you know, we know that. And we know that in Hudson County. Right. And that's fine. And I think, you know, in different
right.
we see that, you know, if you go down south to Monmouth County, it's a very different dynamic, for example.
Right. Right.
But here in Hudson County, though, Anthony, when we look at, you know, again, coming up this year in 2017, what looked to be a very sort of sexy primary season for Democrats in New Jersey has turned out not to be. I mean, clearly, Phil Murphy has established himself as the front runner. You know, at this time last year, that wasn't the case. You know, at this time last year, we were looking at Jersey City Mayor Stephen Fulop. His name was being thrown around. We knew that, that State Senate President Steve Sweeney was also in the mix. And now, you know, a year later, for whatever reason, the race isn't as sexy anymore. So pretty much it's sort of a foregone conclusion that it'll be Phil Murphy and it'll be the lieutenant governor.
There's still a primary. There's about three Democratic candidates running, but you don't have those top, like, level of candidates like a Mayor Steve Fulop or Senate President Steve Sweeney running against Phil Murphy. Phil Murphy did a really good job on drawing up support around the state. He worked from day one. Steve Fulop, he decided not to run. He decided to back Murphy. Hudson County immediately went with Phil Murphy right after Steve Fulop made that announcement. Because naturally, we were going to go with Steve Fulop. He's Hudson County. You know, the Democratic Party would have stayed with our Hudson County mayor. He decided to go with Phil Murphy. We all decided to go with Phil Murphy. Since Steve Sweeney saw the writing on the wall, he had really not that much of the support of the greater Democratic counties out there. Like you take Hudson County, Bergen County, Essex County. And then they picked up counties that he really never picked up before. So Phil Murphy basically had it locked up. Nobody wants to, like I said, spending money on an election that you don't have. You know, you're going to have to need a lot of money statewide to run an election. Phil Murphy's a great guy. I met him numerous times. He's smart. He's intelligent. I think the second time that I saw him, he called me by my first name, and it wasn't like a week apart. It was like a couple months apart, and he's very intelligent, and he's going to make a great governor, and it's finally that we're going to get a governor, a person in the governor's office that's going to help Hudson County and not be a governor that sits on his desk, that sees Hudson County on his desk and crosses everything out coming into Hudson County, because that's what we've been going through for the past 8 years or 7.5 years now. That's what we're going through.
Yeah.
When this governor sees Hudson County, he crosses everything out. We get zero. He's an unfair, unpopular governor. Now, we've got more under Christy Whitman when she was the governor, and she was a Republican governor. She gave Hudson County out 3 overpasses, okay? So she was fair. She was a governor. Now you have a governor that's not fair and is a total bully. So we just can't wait to get Phil Murphy in the governor's seat.
Well, let me ask you about that, because I know that, you know, listen, I'm sure you're a student of history like I am. We know our politics. We know our political history. You know, clearly when there's for the most part, historically, when there's a Democrat in Trenton, there tends to be a Republican in the White House. When there tends to be a Republican in the White House, there tends to be a Democrat in Trenton. That's sort of what
crazy.
The trend is sort of showing in New Jersey. Yeah, it's sort of interesting. And you know, again, a lot of polls early on right now in April suggest that Phil Murphy's going to run away with this. But I think, Anthony, as we both know, that polls can be deceiving. I think, you know, let's look no further than maybe 5 months ago or 6 months ago. We know that polls can be very misleading.
The presidential election, you can definitely tell. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Do you think that, I mean, again, as a devoted Democrat here in Hudson County, and just, you know, the way you represent the Democrat Party in New Jersey, do you feel that, you know, is it a foregone conclusion that Phil Murphy's going to run away with this, or do you give the lieutenant governor any shot here? Because, again, you know, when you look at the breakdown in New Jersey, I mean, clearly Democrats outnumber registered Republicans, I think, almost like 4-1. Certainly there's a large amount of independents in the state, but, you know, predominantly New Jersey's derby blue. Is it a foregone conclusion you think that Phil Murphy's going to run away with this November, or do you think that, quite frankly, again, elections are unpredictable. We saw that last November.
Listen, very, very unpredictable. You never can say someone's going to run away with the election. You can say someone's definitely going to win the election. We thought Clinton was going to run away with the presidential election. So it's very, very hard. Now, the lieutenant governor now today running for governor, she's going to take the baggage of Chris Christie with her because she's, you know, she's part of the team there. So it's going to be hard for her to break out of the Chris Christie stigma. You know what I mean? So
no, absolutely. Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, absolutely. That's fair.
So she's got that strike against her already. I mean, you know, Murphy's coming out and he's going full force. He's proven himself. He's definitely a better candidate than her. So, I mean, yeah, he probably is going to like kind of run away with it. But, you know, we'll be working just as hard for him in Hudson County. That's for sure. You know that.
No, listen, of course, yeah. And listen, there's a lot of months between now and November. A lot can change polls-wise. We all know this. But, you know, sort of bring it back to the county level. I know that, we have some interesting mayoral races here in Hudson County. We have a mayoral race in Jersey City with the incumbent Stephen Phillip. We have a mayoral race in Hoboken that I'm not sure if it's going to look interesting in the coming months ahead. But we know that obviously the Democrat Party under Chairman Prieto has become very united in recent months. For you, obviously, you know, being involved in the county as long as you have, how does that make you feel now? Because for some time there was some friction within the party itself here in Hudson County, but we've seen that, you know, Speaker Prieto has done an exceptional job in uniting the party as opposed to, you know, previous, you know, chairman, let's say, you know, I mean, not to sort of throw Mark Smith under the bus, but we all know that there was some friction within the party itself for some time here in Hudson County. And now as a Democrat, like, how do you feel now, hopefully seeing that this is maybe water under the bridge and now apparently there's going to be harmony for the foreseeable future?
Well, let me tell you, there's always going to be some friction in parties' affiliations, no matter whether you're a Democrat or Republican side. When you have a chairman like Vinny Prieto that's soft-spoken, very, very knowledgeable on politics and helping people, you know, he can sit people down at a table and work things out. You know, our last chairman, you know, before Vinny, he just went out and endorsed people without even asking any of the mayors in the county. That made some people a little mad. Some mayors a little mad over it. Vinny Prieto sits people down. He talks to people. What's the best interest for the Democratic Party to be a stronghold? And naturally, you know, we are a stronghold. Hudson County. We have the Assembly Speaker. I mean, that, if people don't know how important that is to have Vinny Prieto as the Assembly Speaker, then they don't know politics. Okay, they definitely do not know anything about politics if they don't know that Vinny Prieto is. It was such fortunate to have him as the Assembly Speaker. As the chairman, like I said, he put the party together. Everybody wants to be together. Nobody wants in road fighting. Nobody wants that. Doesn't get anybody anywhere. It makes us a smoother election cycle. But you know, he's been taking care of it. You know, he takes care of the people. He's a great assemblyman. He's a superb speaker. And he's a great chairman, and he kept the party together. We now, you know, he's the speaker. We're endorsing Phil Murphy. He put that all together, and he's got a lot of people behind him. He's got Nick Sacco behind him. He's got Steve Fuller behind him. Brian Stack's on board. So like everybody's on board. Everybody's focused on the governor's race right now in June, and we want to show the state that the county's united. And we're going to come out with probably the best numbers probably across the state.
Well, I believe it. I mean, listen, one thing I've learned about the political machine in Hudson County is that it mobilizes well. We know that we have, you know, an apparatus from town to town, whether it's here in Union City with my mayor and State Senator Brian Stack, certainly with Felix Roque in West New York, Mayor Turner in Weehawken, and so on and so forth. So
yep.
the mobilization is there, Anthony, for sure. So I don't doubt that prediction on your part. But sort of keeping it back county level-wise, you know, I have to ask, you know, I'm a homeowner. I'm a taxpayer like yourself. What's been the biggest challenge for you hearing from constituents about, well, where's my tax money going to? Why are taxes going up in certain towns? And, you know, who's to blame for this? You know, what can we do as homeowners to make sure that it doesn't skyrocket out of control? As we all, you know, as we know, Hudson County has become increasingly expensive to live in. Name the town, and it's just become pricier, whether it's, you know, there's a variety of variables, whether it's overdevelopment in Hoboken, whether it's, you know, just overdevelopment in Weehawken along the water or in West New York or even in parts of Sea Caucus, for example. We know that homeowners are concerned. You know, tonight,
right,
I know a lot of your constituents are listening tonight. What can you tell us? What can you tell taxpayers and homeowners in Hudson County in terms of, you know, there's a legitimate concern about property taxes continuing to go up? Or is this money being spent responsibly? You know, what can you tell our constituents tonight in terms of alleviating fear? Because it I'm sure it exists.
On a county level for a budget, for the tax rate for municipalities, there's a state formula that you have to a standardized state formula that you have to go by, and what that basically means in English, the more development you have in your town, the more tax ratables that you're getting into, the county tax rate is going to be a little higher in that municipality than another municipality, like Jersey City Waterfront, Hoboken Waterfront, Weehawken Waterfront, West York Weehawken Waterfront. They're getting hit the hardest because the development is soaring, which is great for the economy, and it's great for the towns. But on a county level, for the state formula, they pay a little more percent than, say, somewhere like Union City. There's no development. They don't have a waterfront in Union City. You don't have a waterfront there. There's somewhere out in Kearney, on West Hudson. They don't have these developments going on. Listen, you want to know where our tax money is going? Just drive around. I'll drive you around for a couple of days. I'll show you what we've been doing. I'll show you the investments we've been doing in our parks and in our roads. These are investments that we're doing today that hopefully our kids or grandchildren want to do later on when they get older. I mean, we're spending millions of dollars investing in our parks and our roads and our bridges. Like, you go down to Viaduct in Hoboken. You know, where'd the money come from? You know, go to the roads. The Sinatra Drive in Hoboken getting refurbished right now. That's a county road. We're doing that over. We're doing bridges out in Harrison. We're doing Kennedy Boulevard, we've been still paving that. We're paving Braddock Park next week. We're putting a new lake wall in Braddock Park. We did a new fountain in Lincoln Park. We're putting new tennis courts in Bayonne Park. I mean, that's where your tax dollars are going. We're looking at, and we just started a plan. We started plans maybe about a year ago. We're into this, making a brand new administration building with brand new courts. We're acquiring properties as we go along. As we speak right now, we're acquiring properties, whether they get donated to the county or eminent domain or a set purchase worked on. Within 10 years, we'll have a brand new administration building. And look at our administration building right now on Oak Avenue. It's not the nicest place to look at. It's not the nicest building to look at.
Oh, listen,
we need new courts, you know?
No, definitely. Listen, I worked as a probation officer many moons ago, and I know working at 595 Newark Avenue, it was an eyesore, not just to look at outside, but walking through the building. I mean, it was whether it was unsanitary or just falling apart, it was tough to work there. So
I mean, you have plumbing problems in there. You have electrical problems in there. You have no air conditioning in there. And it's so old where it doesn't pay to start gutting walls down. You don't know what's going to be behind those walls. It's like a house when you construct a house. It's easy to build a new house. So, you know, these are investors. These are where our tax dollars are going. And listen, as long as we keep them within the reasonable rate of inflation, we're doing pretty good. Our county tax rate last year only went up like 4%, where you have some towns going up 4%, you know? Some staying stable, like Milford went up 0%. You know, you have municipalities going up 2%, 3%.
a county. County is a big investment, and the county is giving it back to the municipalities. That's where we're spending our money, in our municipalities. So it is coming back to the people, and someday we're not going to have to do all these big investments, like the fountain in Lincoln Park, like the lake wall in Braddock Park. That's going to last another 50, 60, 70 years, but it's a $4 million project right now. You know, so our kids won't have to be spending that.
No, listen, it's definitely an investment, and I get that. I'm glad you sort of outlined it for us here tonight, because I know a lot of your constituents listening tonight probably didn't have an idea of how that breakdown took place. You know, again, listen, let's be honest. I think a lot of people in Hudson County may not want to make the effort to sort of read about these things or learn about it. So it's at least having you on the show tonight was, I think, enlightening, because it gives us a perspective of, you know, where our tax dollars are going. And it sort of, you know, begs the next question I was going to ask, and I know that we talked off the air before tonight's program, but your thoughts, I know it's not a county project, but your thoughts in terms of where do you see any progress going as it pertains to the Hudson Bergen Light Rail? I know it's not a county project, but, you know, you live here. Certainly we've seen the advantages and the benefits of what the Hudson – well, the Hudson Light Rail. It's not Bergen yet, because it doesn't go into Bergen County yet. But we've seen what the advantages are of the light rail. What are your thoughts in terms of it moving forward, though? I mean, who have you talked to? Do you see this project really taking off to where it's going to ultimately stretch all the way to Inglewood Hospital, which is what the goal is?
Yeah.
So what have you heard,
Anthony? Those are the plans. Those are the plans. And we should probably be getting another stop in North Bergen, up by the Walmart area. We'll probably get another stop there. You'll get another stop in Richfield, over Peck Park, maybe, around that area, then up to Englewood. Englewood has a pretty good business shopping business district as well. Those people can come into our area, into West York, Union City, on Bergen Avenue there. Our people can go there and shop. So, you know, you're inviting other towns to share each other's, you know, fortunes, hopefully, you know. I think it's a great project. I remember when it started to get implemented about 1985 or 86. We saw diagrams. We had no idea how it would look like, where it would go. And we're riding it now today. It's perfect. Light rail is great investment. This is another investment that the taxpayer money is going to. Infrastructure.
No, definitely.
Transit. That's where it's going.
No, I
think the Hudson Bergen Light Rail is long overdue. It should go to Bergen County. The original plan was supposed to go to Bergen County, but it's supposed to go out towards, I think, I forgot which area, way out to the left, not up to Bergline. No way. It's supposed to go up to Alpine. And they switched it over to Englewood. I think that was one of the original. They had like three different diagrams when they first put it on paper. One was supposed to go to Englewood. You know.
Well, I'll be honest with you.
It should go out to the Paramus area.
I was just about to say that. You know what? I hate traffic on Route 17, and believe me, if we could have a light rail stop at Garfield Plaza,
my God,
I would love it. I'll go build it. Give me a hammer. I'll go build it.
I know.
Because believe me, you know, driving on 17 to Garden State Plaza at any time of the year, especially during the holidays, please. I'd rather go on a light rail. Just like you go to Newport, I'd rather go to Paramus.
See, a lot of these rails were still on the ground before the Hudson Bergen Light Rail started being developed. There were rail lines that we had that were utilized. Of course, there were a lot of new ones we had to put in. But we ran off some of the same rail tracks that were there. It's weird that you didn't even know where some of these tracks were. So, you know, maybe someday we'll be going from Englewood out to Paramus or to Willowbrook. Who knows? So.
Oh, that'd be great. You know what? I'll tell you right now. I'd like to keep my car at home, go shopping, jump on the light rail, and come back and avoid all that Route 46, Route 3 traffic. You know what I'm saying, Anthony?
Yeah.
Anthony, that's
a good idea about it. But as far as the con on that one, all our businesses on Bergen everywhere hate it if it goes that way. But we got to support
our
own right here at home. You know, we have one of the best business districts from Bergen Avenue, from Mike Castle all the way down to 32nd Street. You could buy anything you want on Bergen Avenue in our town. You really could.
Oh, I where I live in Union City, I'm a few blocks. I'm two blocks from Bergen Avenue. I can walk up and down Bergen. If I need anything, trust me, any necessities there. So I don't have to go to the mall to buy a multitude of things. I have them right here in Bergenland. So you're right, though. The urban enterprise zone certainly has become a mainstay in Hudson County. And you know, I think a lot of residents have benefited from that. Anthony, one last thing, because I appreciate you being on the program as long as you've been on tonight.
No problem.
So I appreciate that. But one last thing. And, you know, looking forward, I know you mentioned a lot of new projects coming up in Braddock Park, also in Bayonne Park, also in Lincoln Park. Are there any other new projects maybe you haven't mentioned tonight that residents and taxpayers can look forward to in terms of, you know, summer's coming? What can we expect at our county parks in terms of, I know that a lot of the pools are, you know, run by the municipality, of course, but, you know,
Correct, what
new projects can residents expect in, again, as summer and then eventually the fall comes here in 2017 and beyond?
Well, it's not like they're new projects. There are existing projects that are there that we're upgrading, like our tennis courts. We're putting all new tennis courts in on our parks. We're putting a new turf field in Bayonne Park, brand new turf, new benches, new stadiums, new locker rooms in Lincoln Park. We just did our brand new stadium up here in Braddock, and you know, it's the upkeep too now, you know. But the bigger projects, you know, we basically did the fountain in Lincoln Park, like I said. We did our fields up here. We got rid of the Dust Bowl. We made a veterans area here. We're paving our roads again in Braddock Park. It should be done. It should start about next week or the week after that. So within my first term, we would have paved 100% of every road that you travel in Braddock Park by the end of this next project. And it would have been done in August if Chris Christie didn't pull the plug on the TTF, you know, Transportation Trust Fund.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, no, interesting.
So
that's supposed
to be done in August, but the one reason that I wanted it done in August because the preschool is there, and you have kids and parents there bringing the kids to school. And I had it set for August to be done because the school was off. And he pulled the plug on it, and now we're going to have during construction, which I don't like, but we have to do it.
Speaking of construction, Anthony, I know you're very – I mentioned it to the Assemblywoman last week, actually 2 weeks ago when she was on the program. You have to be excited about the new high-tech high school coming up in Sea Caucus. Could you tell us more about that?
Another thing we didn't even talk about is the best thing in the world coming to us. High-tech, the county is putting in a new high school. They're moving out to a the best part about this, that the county did not have to pay for the land. It was already county land. So that's number one. Number two, we got, I think, 60% or 40% of the funding from the state. We kicked in the rest naturally. So that's where your tax money's going. You're talking about a $200 million high school, you know? So when people ask where your money's going, this is where it's going. The schools, our roads, our parks, our courts, our administration buildings. This is where we're spending money, and you have to spend money. You got to keep it. You know, got to keep the world going. My kids are gonna have a brand new high school.
No, absolutely.
Which opens up. You know, that opens up North Bergen to get a new high school too now. So North Bergen will acquire that, and they don't have to spend $200 million on high school. They could acquire this for $20 million. So look at the cost savings that we're saving the taxpayers right there, making this a high school. Then the existing high school becomes a junior high. So you alleviate two grades out of the grammar school, 7th and 8th. They move up to the junior high, and you have more classroom space. Everybody wins with this. Everybody wins. It's a no-brainer. And if people say you're not doing anything, just look at this. And this was a big dream, and Mayor Sackler has been a great advocate on doing getting this done, working with the county executive and the freeholder boards. You know, I spoke to the freeholders about this. It's the best thing for the kids. And when it comes to children, the freeholders never really say no, ever. They never say no.
Well, Anthony, I have to tell you, tonight's, you know, broadcast here, I think, again, no slight against my previous guests, this has probably been the most enlightening interview I've done so far since the start of the show. And you really helped break it down for us in terms of the county, at the county level, and really for taxpayers and residents listening tonight, you know, I applaud you for really taking the time to dissect what goes into county government. I think more times than not, if you polled 10 random people on the street, they couldn't tell you how county government functions. They may think they know, but at the end, they don't know. And, you know, again, you're a gentleman for coming on tonight. I appreciate it. Listen, you've been on with me for almost 45 minutes, and I'm grateful. I know you're a very busy man. I know you have
Thank
a campaign to attend to, obviously, since you're running. Anthony, again, I hope to see you next Friday at my event. Will I see you at my
Yes, I will be there. Definitely without a doubt, I'll be there. Definitely without a doubt.
Oh, well, Anthony, listen,
but
you're
I'm not,
a gentleman.
I'm not bidding on any of the women.
I can't do that to you. I can't fit in any woman.
I got you.
All right?
I got you. No. Listen, understood. Hopefully you'll buy some raffle tickets. We have some great prizes that we're raffling off next Friday. So I hope to have you join us next Friday. And I appreciate it. Anthony, listen. Again, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
And now, did I go easy on you? Was I okay? Will you come back on the show?
Yeah, it was a quick 10 minutes, as you said. A quick 10 minutes.
all right, there you go. Well, Anthony, listen, again,
right.
Folks, tonight joining me here on the program, the Honorable Anthony Venneri, the distinguished freeholder from the 8th District here in Hudson County. Thank you so much for joining us, Anthony, and we'll talk to
you
soon.
Thank you very
all
much.
Right.
Good night now. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks again, Anthony. Folks, again, there tonight, joining us there, Honorable Freeholder Anthony Venneri here on Talking the Hudson. And, folks, listen, I want to hear from you tonight. What are your thoughts about my interview with the Freeholder? Did you learn anything tonight? Did something surprise you? Did you feel maybe I missed something during the interview? Please, let me hear from you. 657-383-0296. Once again, the toll-free number tonight on Talking the Hudson is brought to you by Olivella Restaurant in North Bergen. You can check out their website, www.olivellanj.com, for their menu. They're great. Again, listen, it's tough to go there, especially when you want to get summer ready, but the food's so delicious. Trust me, make it your cheat day and go to Olivella in North Bergen. So again, folks, great interview tonight here with the Freeholder, Anthony Venneri. I look forward to seeing him next Friday night at my charity event at Soen Cubana, which I'll tell you a little bit more about later in the show. About the importance of what the March of Dimes does and sort of a local event. We do have a walk coming up at Liberty State Park in Jersey City coming up on Sunday, April the 30th. I'll tell you a little bit more about that later in the broadcast. But I'll sort of go over the news feed here in Hudson County, some stories that sort of got my attention. And again, I want to, share them with you tonight, folks, here on the program. Again, I want to hear from you tonight, folks, 657-383-0296. Again, toll free number brought to you by Olivella Restaurant in North Bergen. Now, interesting story I came across on the Hudson County View, a good website there, posted by my friend John Hines, the director of Hudson County View. Again, you check him out at hudsoncountyview.com. An interesting article posted yesterday where State Senator Sandra Cunningham, State Senator Brian Stack, and Jersey City Mayor Stephen Phillip, along with the Hudson County Prosecutor, Ms. Esther Suarez, were voicing support at a press conference right in front of City Hall in Jersey City in terms of voicing their support for bail reform changes that would keep most offenders in jail longer if they were caught with an illegal firearm. Now, according to the story, again, brought to you by Hudson County View, Mayor Phillip, who first brought up the issue at his Ward B State of the City address last month, explained why he felt the new legislation, which would make illegal gun possession a violent crime in most instances, was important from a Jersey City perspective. Now, the mayor went on to highlight that in Jersey City in 2016, at one point, there were 74 handgun seizures throughout the city. And up until this point in 2017, the Jersey City Police Department have a 29% increase in terms of the amount of guns that they've this year. They've already collected 95, and it's only April. So it's been a pretty sharp increase, according to the mayor. And according to what the mayor, and again, with State Senator Stack and State Senator Cunningham by his side, went on to say that, again, quote, arrests for unlawful possession of a handgun up to this point in time was 51. And today, up to this point, it's 84. So there's been a sharp increase of 65% in terms of really what speaks to the access to guns that young people unfortunately have, especially in Jersey City. Now, State Senator Brian Stack from the 33rd District, co-sponsored the bill, said that it was a necessary measure to help curb gun violence throughout the state. Now, State Senator Sandra Cunningham, the other prospective bill co-sponsor, said that bail reform was never intended to put dangerous offenders back in the community. And that was one of the biggest criticisms about bail reform, and it always seems to be, where, quote, she went on to say that bail reform was designed to make sure that people who were incarcerated and who were being held for small fees, such as $200 or $300, could not go back out on the street, continue to work, and take care of their families while they were waiting for their trials to occur. So, again, she went on to say it was never designed to put people out on the streets who are a danger to the community. Additionally, there, the Hudson County Prosecutor, Esther Suarez, explained that bail reform work is indeed a work in progress. And, again, speaking also at the press conference in front of Grove Street in City Hall, was the police director in Jersey City, Director Shea. And, you know, he had some interesting words as well, sort of, you know, as he was the final speaker during the press conference. And he went on to thank the local officials for trying to close what was commonly referred to as sort of like a bail reform loophole, since it's hopefully going to make the lives of those men and women in blue, you know, exponentially safer. In Jersey City, we've seen a rise in gun violence and gun deaths in Jersey City. So, again, you know, kudos to State Senators Stack and Cunningham, respectively, for being proactive with this bill. You know, we're going to find out exactly what's going to happen with this bail reform. Again, you know, as someone who's a very staunch advocate of the Second Amendment and a staunch advocate of responsible gun ownership, for me personally, hearing the state senators come out in the forefront with this sort of bail reform, I think was encouraging. I know that maybe a lot of Second Amendment advocates are concerned about what this means, but again, folks, it's really tailored around the fact of, you know, trying to curb illegal gun possession. We know that illegal guns still pose a very serious threat in New Jersey. Now, despite the fact that New Jersey has perhaps the strictest gun laws anywhere in the continental United States, it doesn't stop people from buying guns illegally. And certainly having a handgun, you know, on their possession is certainly a felony in New Jersey. Again, New Jersey is not an open carry state like Texas or even the state of Florida, which even has some provisions as well. New Jersey does not have that law in the books. So you're out on the street with a handgun and, you know, certainly in the commission of a crime, the penalties are going to be very stiff, and rightfully so. So, you know, we see what State Senators Stack and Cunningham respectively are doing, curtail this, and we'll find out exactly. You know, the bill, again, was just recently introduced to the state. We're going to find out exactly whether or not the bill will have some traction, whether or not it has some legs, and it'll come to a vote. We'll see exactly how the Assembly and the State Senate vote respectively on this when it comes to the floor for a vote. So we'll find out. I'll certainly keep it posted here on Talking to Hudson about this important bail reform that seems to be gaining, again, some traction here in New Jersey. So I'll keep you posted about that job there by Hudson Kenny View in the story yesterday. We switched to another big local news site here, Hudson TV. Great local news site there run by my good friend, again, on a daily basis. I encourage you to check out HudsonTV.com every day. All of our great media sites, whether it's Hudson TV, whether it's Hudson County View at HudsonTV.com, whether it's www.hudsonreport.com, or even the J Journal, referring to the local. Definitely want to give all the local journalists working hard here on Hudson TV to bring you news. Brought to you by Hudson TV here, examining the sort of a controversy, whether we see it or not, and it involves the administrator of the Hudson County Schools of Technology. And you that are familiar with Hudson County politics, you know that political operative Joe Moon is, a guy who I happen to know very well. I happen to know Joe Hudson TV brings its attention to building with sort of here. At sort of the center of this fire street, as some unsubstantiated reports are going down the news feed, talking about perennial wind for Murphy, certainly him being very involved in what could be a Phil Murphy administration starting in January 2018. Some anonymous reports claim that the operative has been looking to have, quote, sit-down meetings with many government officials. It's unclear whether or not this has caused a strain among Hudson County elected officials and other characters here in the county remains to be seen. Sort of reading this to hear when you read some of the stories and they're not on surface, you don't know what to believe. I don't have any sources for them all. They can always get it wrong. No one's perfect. Around local circles. He's been a respected operative. Had the confidence, of course, of the mayor and state senator Nicholas. Been one city mayor. It's interesting exactly where the sniping seems to be coming from in terms of these rumors with you know, we stand, what are loyalty, looking at, you know, office, ultimately Phil Murphy, quite possibly the gubernatorial election this November. It's to say, who knows? It would be interesting exactly if any of the heat on Jim Wilkins will subside in the coming weeks. And his name keep floating around in political circles here. I don't think it's to be honest. And it's interesting to see, you know, where it's going to be reports and whether or not this is going to continue to pick a theme along, certainly, you know, the political underground here in Hudson County, sort of, you know, the here in the county. So, wires locally, and we'll find out if it has any questions this month ahead of the election season, not just in Hudson County, but also statewide throughout. So we'll find out again. Also, there in that TV breaking that story there. Another interesting story I also wanted to run by tonight, folks, and something that really, if you heard my interview tonight with Hudson County Freeholder Anthony Veneri, is of particular interest to me as someone who uses mass transit quite often. And again, a good story to me. The Hudson Reporter, very nice article written by Hennington Dia, staff writer at the Hudson Reporter. You can check it out at hudsonreporter.com. And according to what reports indicate, there is still a move with New Jersey Transit to move forward with the light rail expansion. Now, for those of you who are not aware, New Jersey Transit plans to push forward with 7 new light rail stations in Hudson and Bergen counties, despite the fact that there might be some federal administration of the 45th president, Donald J. Trump. Now, last month, the agency unveiled a plan for new stations along a 10-mile CX railroad right-of-way in Hudson County and Inglewood Hospital in Bergen County. Now, according to the Hudson Reporter, details of the plan and the location of the public hearings on the environmental impact are set for April the 24th in Inglewood. And you can certainly look at what the parameters are at www.northernbergencorridor.com. Now, again, this is some pretty good information. Actually, I looked at it earlier today. A pretty informative website. It's will be discussing the public hearings coming up on the 24th in England, specifically examining the impact of the expansions along the Hudson and Bergen Light Rail system. For those of you not aware, the Hudson Bergen Light Rail serves 24 stations throughout 6 Hudson County municipalities, which include Boston, Bergen City, Bergen, Jersey City, Hoboken, and Bergen in its name and into the county. The transit agency to create an extension to Route 40 in Jersey City and also move west to Bergen County. When asked about New Jersey Transit Board meeting recently on April 4th, and federal budgets could affect the expansion efforts for the Hudson Brown Light Rail. Executive Director of New Jersey Transit, Stephen Santoro, going forward, no matter what the cuts. He went on to say, quote, we always need to take the long view, and the future holds hopefully New Jersey demand is going to need to grow and meet the demands throughout the region. What we'll continue to do is move projects into Hudson Bergen Lab, moving into Bergen County. Need for us to move people into the region. Now, New Jersey Transit, again, according to reports indicated in the article there via the Hudson Reporter, the light rail system currently now serves approximately 51,900 riders daily. Now, the Northern Bridge Extension would add an estimated 12,370 riders to that number by the year 2030. Now, for those of you that also know, last year, Governor Christie signed legislation raising the state gas by 23 cents per gallon. Now, it's part of an eight-year, $16 billion agreement to fund New Jersey's public roads and the rail infrastructures. Now, March 27th, Governor Christie also signed a bill giving the TTF immediate access to $400 million in appropriations for various projects. Now, some $140 million of that is being reserved for New Jersey Transit. Now, the agency has listed the completion of the environmental impact statement and any preliminary engineering for the Northern Branch extension among its $16 million of expansion initiatives. Also, looking at this, and, you know, it sort of makes me hopefully optimistic it's going to stay part of that $62.7 million allocation for bus and light rail improvements towards preliminary engineering, and hopefully the final design for the Route 440 extension of the light rail system that's further south in Jersey City. Now, again, according to the environmental impact statement, the Northern Branch would improve mobility within Hudson and Bergen counties. It would alleviate a lot of traffic congestion and support continued economic growth in the region. Now, again, with an estimated $1.3 billion of a cost to complete the Northern Branch extension, there's also been talk about an estimated $225 million for the 40 extension. So, the factor in the entire scenario, ladies and gentlemen, is indeed President Donald Trump. And the administration's proposed, quote, America First budget limits funding for the Federal Transit Administration's New START is allocated to programs and projects that already have funding agreements in place. New Jersey Transit has to strike agreements, so that could be an obstacle, you know, moving forward with this possible extension. Now, listen, again, if you heard my interview with the Freeholder, Bradley Union City, I'm only a couple blocks away from the Union City light rail stop on Bergen Line Avenue. It's a great resource for me when I need to use the light rail, when I need to go to Hoboken. If I need to go to New York City, I can just jump on the light rail. Again, go to Hoboken, go to Jersey City, jump on the PATH train. I'm in New York. Boom. It's great. It's very advantageous. It's expeditious, and it certainly alleviates my having to grab my car and having to drive anywhere, which, you know, I think a lot of us that live in Hudson County, even though we have a car, we sort of would like to avoid, taking our vehicle if we don't have to. Now, according to what estimates tell us, the project ultimately should finish all the way up into Inglewood by Inglewood Hospital. And, of course, Inglewood, the business area, which is continues to thrive and prosper for many, many years now. Now, if I had a vote in this, I would say I'd like to extend the light rail all the way into Paramus. Believe me, as I told the Freeholder, there's nothing more aggravating than driving on Route 17 on a Saturday to go to Paramus and go to Garden State Plaza, especially when it's the holiday season or in the middle of the summer, driving on Route 17 if they can avoid it. So if it was up to me, give me a shovel, I'll start digging. I would build a track all the way to Paramus and Garden State Plaza tomorrow if I could. But we're going to find out exactly where this project takes us. We're going to find out what money is available. And, yes, while the Transportation Trust Fund is appropriating money for these projects, we're going to find out exactly if New Jersey Transit is going to be proactive on this or is just going to sit on it. But, again, it'd be nice to sort of incorporate Bergen into the name because it is the Hudson Bergen Light Rail. But we'll find out in the coming years because – you know, overall, I think it's important to look long-term and focus on how advantageous this will be for residents. Again, I don't want to take away from local businesses here in Hudson County, especially on Bergen Line Avenue, which stretches all the way from North Bergen all the way into Union City and other commercial areas. But expanding the light rail, I think, would be great for residents. It'll alleviate a lot of traffic, which we all know, whether you're driving on John F. Kennedy Boulevard, whether you're driving on Route 1 and 9, whether you're driving on 440, whether you're driving on Route 1 and 9 North going into Bergen County. A lot of this could help alleviate congestion. It could help alleviate a lot of excessive carbon monoxide from vehicles just congesting our roads. So, you know what? Cross your fingers. Let's hope New Jersey Transit doesn't drop the ball here and really gets to work on formulating a really good proposal and getting this Hudson-Bergen light rail system complete, hopefully within the next few years. So we'll find out. We'll keep you posted here on Talking to Hudson, folks, and I'll give you any updates as they become available. So, again, good job here this week by the Hudson Reporter, Hudson TV, and by Hudson County View with some great stories to talk about here tonight on Talk on the Hudson. Folks, again, you know, I still want to take some calls. If you are more interested, to give me a call and let me know what you're thinking right now about everything Hudson County, you can do this, you can do so. 657-383-0296. Again, toll-free number. Brought to you by Olivella Restaurant in North Bergen. Again, check them out, www.olivellanj.com. Folks, I also want to raise awareness tonight here on the program, a very noteworthy event going on in Hudson County. On Sunday, April the 30th, at Liberty State Park in Jersey City, the March of Dimes will be having their annual March for Babies walk in Hudson County. I'm a proud participant and volunteer for the March of Dimes. I have been doing so since 2009, raising money for this great, great charity and really, you know, getting to the essence of, you know, what this charity about, you know, is about. And listen, I can't tell you enough about, for me, what volunteering for the March of Dimes signifies. You know, as someone who has met many people who have had to deal with premature babies and difficult pregnancies, you know, this is our chance to do something. This is our chance to do something that will make a difference. And, you know, and coming up on April 30th, Sunday, walk begins, I believe. Actually, registration starts at 8 a.m. and the walk begins at 9 a.m. at Liberty State Park, again, courtesy of the March of Dimes. And again, for those who are not aware, you know, the reason I walk is to help the March of Dimes fund research and programs that help mothers have full-term pregnancies and thus enable babies to begin healthy lives. And that's really the essence of what the March of Dimes is all about and what March for Babies represents. So, again, coming up on Sunday, April the 30th at Liberty State Park, 2017 March for Babies walk. It's only a few miles along the waterfront. It's always a great view, not just to look at Lady Liberty herself, but also to look at the beautiful skyline of Manhattan as you're walking for a very, very good cause. And, of course, only a couple of days before, Friday night, April the 28th, yours truly will host the 8th annual edition of Fernandy Rebate is Saving Babies. So for those of you that are not aware, it's my annual fundraiser to benefit the March of Dimes. It's coming up on Friday night, April the 28th, which is next Friday night, folks, from 8 p.m. until closing. We have no cover at the door. We have plenty of free parking on the premises at Stone Cubano, which is located at 40-4 Riverwalk Place along the waterfront in West New York, right on Porter Imperial Boulevard, again, right between Weehawken and North Bergen. So if you know where Palisades General is and you know where the Chart House is, it's right smack in the middle. You can't miss Stone Cubano. Believe me, check them out online at StoneCubanoNJ.com. But again, next Friday night, we're going to have wonderful prizes being raffled off. We'll have excellent drink specials. We're going to have live flamenco music early on in the evening and a DJ all the way until closing time. It's a great event, folks, to donate whatever you can. I appreciate you coming out. Again, sort of mark it on your calendars. For any of you social media users, if you're a Facebook subscriber, just do a search. Fernandy Uribe is Saving Babies 2017. You can also look for it on Instagram and also on Twitter. There's an event page there. Please RSVP. I encourage you to come out, show your support, and in the end, folks, come out to help us save babies, because that's really what the March of Dimes is all about. And I'm proud to volunteer with them. Since 2009, I've been very proud to say I've raised well over $20,000 in these 8 years for the March of Dimes. It's something I'm very, very proud of. So, again, if you can make it out next Friday night, mark it on your calendars. Looking at the weather right now, in terms of, you know, looking that far ahead, sometimes I tend to do that because I'm always nervous about the weather. But I can tell you that next Friday, the 28th, we're going to be looking at wonderful weather. It's going to be in the 70s during the day and to be in the early 60s at night. So a beautiful, brisk evening right on the water, beautiful view of Manhattan, great flamenco music early on, a great DJ, I serve as your master of ceremonies. We'll have some great prizes being raffled up that night. It'll be a great event for networking. It's, you know, expecting the usual 100-plus guests that I usually get every year. And again, I'm thankful to Son Cubano for allowing me to host this event at their beautiful venue. And I've been doing so since 2013. So it's been a great, great event. And again, I encourage you to look it up on your social media. And I look forward to seeing you next Friday night, April the 28th, again at Son Cubano for Fernandy Uribe is Saving Babies 2017. But even more importantly, 2 days later at Liberty State Park in Jersey, it is the 2017 edition of March for Babies to benefit the March of Dimes. Again, folks, let's give every baby a fighting chance because they deserve it. And let's do what we can to help women and families have healthier pregnancies and ultimately healthier children. So look forward to it. And again, if you have any questions or you want more information about the March of Dimes and why I walk for the March of Dimes, go to my website, www.marchforbabies.org/F-Uribe. That's F-U-R-I-B-E. And again, if you can't make it out next Friday night, please, any online donation you can make is greatly appreciated. Again, all proceeds benefit the March of Dimes. All right, folks. Well, listen, you know, where does the time go sometimes? You know, it's just before you know it, the hour flies by. I mean, unbelievable. It's you know, that time of the evening here. And I'll tell you, I appreciate you tuning in tonight. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, that every Wednesday night, live at 9 p.m., you can listen to the best commentary about everything Hudson County right here on Talk of the Hudson. So, again, if you missed any part of tonight's broadcast, you can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Talk on the Hudson from any PC, Mac, smartphone, or tablet. So if you have a topic or issue you want to hear about next week, please write to the inbox, talkonthehudson@gmail.com. Don't forget to like Talk on the Hudson on Facebook. Again, I'd love to hear your comments about the show, what you like, what you don't like, what can make it better, why you enjoy Talk on the Hudson. I appreciate all the feedback from my loyal listeners, and the amount of likes continues to increase each and every day. So whether it's on your morning commute, getting that daily workout, walking your dog, doing laundry. For a lot of my students coming up now, studying for final exams. Tune in, and trust me, you'll be happy you did. Once again, folks, Talk of the Hudson is brought to you by Olivella Restaurant. Again, it's a wonderful new gem in Hudson County, and it's the best thing for you to taste anywhere. So listen, I know it's tough to get summer ready. It doesn't help when you go to Olivella Restaurant, but you'll be so happy you did because the food is absolutely delicious. I've eaten there. It's fantastic. Definitely check it out. Olivella Restaurant's located at 7709 Bergen Avenue in North Bergen. They're open for dinner 7 days a week. So, again, do me a favor. Call and make a reservation in advance. 201-662-6110. Tell them Fernandy Uribe sent you. I promise you, they'll definitely take care of you that evening when you go to Olivella. So, again, check out their website, folks, www.olivellanj.com. Don't forget to like Olivella Restaurant on Facebook and, of course, follow them, too, on Instagram and Twitter. If it's unbiased, good night. Tunnelly Avenue, all the way from North Bergen and down into Journal Square in Jersey City. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, let's keep on talking.
Held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting our shirt together, we're reaching up our ass. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going. They don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our shirts together.